Have you ever really stopped to think about like all those voices that you come across online? You know, the ones that are like sharing news or giving their opinions or maybe even, you know, like stirring up those debates. What if like some of them aren't exactly what they seem? You know what I mean? Like, what if there are agendas at play that we don't see? That's the kind of rabbit hole we're jumping into today.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, today we're going to be looking at claims of a really big effort that's allegedly being run by the CCP to influence media outside of China.
So not just like within China's borders, but trying to shape the conversation globally.
Exactly. And the focus seems to be on people who are critical of the CCP and some specific groups that they have issues with.
And to help us break all of this down, you've brought some really fascinating sources to the table.
I have.
We'll be looking primarily at an interview that the Epoch Times did with the Australian scholar Feng Chonggi.
Right.
And we've also got some additional reporting and insights from people like that YouTube guy, Tim Pool.
Yeah, Tim Pool.
So in this deep dive, we really want to take all of this information and unpack it in a way that makes sense, you know? So we want to understand what strategies might be at play here, what the motivations behind them could be, and what the potential impact could be for all of us, all based on what these sources are telling us.
Yeah, and to do that without overwhelming you with too much information, just getting right to the core of it.
Okay, so Professor Feng Chonggi in this interview, he talks about some pretty intriguing and, to be honest, kind of concerning things, like these alleged secret meetings.
Yeah.
What exactly is he saying happened?
So Feng Chonggi says that based on information that he's getting from sources inside China's system, there was a secret meeting held by the CCP that supposedly took place in Canada sometime in the past year.
Wow, in Canada. Okay, so what was supposedly the purpose of having this like super secret meeting?
Well, according to Feng Chonggi's sources, the main thing they were trying to figure out was how to co-opt these overseas anti-CCP self-media personalities to serve the CCP's agenda. He says they use the phrase Arya.
Yeah.
And the direct translation of that is to our use.
To our use.
Yeah, so it's basically like they're trying to figure out how to subtly guide these voices to support their interests. And he also mentions that there was another similar meeting that happened the year before.
So this isn't a one-off thing. They're really putting effort into this. It sounds a lot less like they're interested in like open dialogue and a lot more like they're trying to manipulate people.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So if these meetings did actually happen, what does Professor Feng Chonggi think is the reason the CCP is going to these lengths?
That's a great question.
What's the motivation here?
Well, he gives a pretty compelling analysis. He believes this move shows that the CCP recognizes how much influence and how effective these overseas Chinese language self-media outlets have become. They're reaching a lot of people. And he says that their success in spreading the truth and enlightening both the public and officials has really become a big problem for the CCP.
Spreading the truth and enlightening both the public and officials. I mean, that
Right.
makes sense. If you have all these independent voices out there gaining traction and they're offering different perspectives from what the CCP wants people to hear, it's going to challenge their control.
Absolutely. And Feng Chonggi also explains this as part of the CCP's long-standing United Front strategy.
Yeah.
It's basically an attempt to get all these different groups on the same page, whether through persuasion or pressure. He describes it as fighting while uniting, attacking while pulling together.
So basically, they're trying to exert their influence in any way they can.
Exactly. And so this effort to co-opt these online voices is just a modern application of that same strategy.
Interesting. Okay, so we have these alleged secret meetings and a better understanding of why they might be doing this.
Right.
But the big question is, how are they actually doing it?
Right.
What methods are being used here?
This is where things get really interesting. We have these earlier claims from Tim Pool that even though they're not directly related to what Feng Chonggi is talking about, they do seem to fit a similar pattern. Pool has said publicly that he was offered a good amount of money, allegedly, from people linked to the CCP to get international influencers and Western media to attack Falun Gong and Shen Yun performing arts online.
Wow, so to put out negative content about them specifically, that's a pretty serious accusation. What exactly did Poole say happened?
Well, he talked about his own experience. He was offered $200 to post a video on his channel of a white guy criticizing Falun Gong, and he said no right away. But he also said that he knew other people were accepting these kinds of offers.
So it wasn't just a one-time thing. They were approaching multiple people. And does Professor Feng Chonggi see a connection between what Poole experienced and this larger campaign to bring online voices under the CCP's control?
He does. He actually specifically mentions that this kind of thing, what happened to Poole, could very well be a part of this larger effort to buy influence online.
So financial incentives are definitely one method being used. What about the targets? Who are they going after, and what other tactics are they using besides just money?
Well, it seems like the main targets are people who are already speaking out against the CCP online. But the tactics go beyond just trying to win them over with cash. Since last summer, there have been reports of this sudden wave of people popping up online claiming to be former Falun Gong practitioners or even past performers with Shenyun Performing Arts.
Shenyun Performing Arts. For anyone who's not familiar, they're known for their traditional Chinese dance and music productions.
Exactly. And these individuals have been posting all this negative stuff about these groups on U.S. social media platforms.
That's interesting that they're focusing on those specific groups. And it's not just random people doing this, right? The New York Times also published a few articles that were critical of Shenyun around the same time.
That's right. And according to Joshua Phillip, who hosts a program called Crossroads on the Epoch Times, he says those articles from the New York Times were then shared and promoted like crazy across social media by accounts that looked a lot like they were controlled by the CCP. He says that X actually ended up removing thousands of those accounts because they were fake.
X being what used to be Twitter.
Right.
So it sounds like they're using a two-pronged approach. They're trying to influence existing voices while also orchestrating these attacks and pushing negative narratives using fake accounts.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also worth pointing out that some people who were previously critical of the CCP and their own content have now started attacking Falun Gong as well. Which, you know, could line up with what Feng Chonggi's saying about some people being compromised.
Like they were maybe bought off, as he put it.
Yeah.
Okay, so why now? Why does it seem like this is ramping up right now?
That's a really good question. We do have some insights into this, although it's important to say that none of this has been verified. Mm-hmm. But one source who's supposedly connected to China's public security apparatus says that these attacks on Falun Gong in particular are part of a plan by Chen Yexin, who's the new Minister of National Security, to kind of score points with the higher-ups in the CCP.
So maybe there's some internal political maneuvering happening here.
Yeah, that's one explanation that's been put forward. And Professor Yuan Hongbing, he's actually claimed that these attack plans are coming straight from high-level conspiracies within Zhongnanhai, which is basically the CCP's headquarters.
So this is some pretty serious stuff, if it's true. Professor Feng Chonggi also brings up some really important points about, you know, the ethical choices people face if they're approached with these offers and the potential risks involved.
Yeah, he definitely does. He really urges people to be careful. And he calls on those self-media personalities to resist what he calls the CCP's devilish temptation. He says that they risk destroying their reputations completely if they let themselves be bought and basically end up working for the CCP.
It's a stark warning that you could lose all credibility.
Yeah. He also says he hopes that people will choose to stick to their principles, act with a sense of responsibility, and hold firm to their bottom line and not give in to this pressure.
I do have a question, though. It seems like it would take a ton of money to fund such a large-scale effort to control the narrative outside of China, especially when you consider that we keep hearing about how the Chinese economy isn't doing so great right now and how local governments are really struggling financially. Where is all this money coming from?
That's a good point. Feng Chonggi actually addresses this by saying that he believes the CCP will always prioritize keeping the regime stable and will spend whatever it takes on propaganda to do that. He says that even if the economy is not doing well, they'll probably take money away from things like pensions to make sure they can keep these influence campaigns going.
So for them, controlling the narrative both inside and outside of China is so important that they're willing to make some tough choices to keep it up.
That seems to be his analysis of their priorities.
It's really important for everyone listening to remember that everything we've talked about today is based only on the information that was presented in the sources we mentioned. We are not taking sides here or endorsing any particular viewpoint. Our goal is simply to understand what's being said in those sources.
That's a really important point. We just want to give you a clear understanding of these allegations and what they mean based on the information we have.
So to wrap things up, we've looked at these alleged secret CCP meetings where they talked about co-opting overseas voices. We discussed why they might be doing this and how it ties into their worries about independent media and their united front strategy. We also examine how they're allegedly doing this, including financial incentives and those attacks on Falun Gong and Shen Yin using fake accounts.
Right.
And lastly, we talked about why this might be happening now and the ethical and financial aspects of it all.
It paints a pretty complex picture of what's happening online.
It really does. So here's something to think about after you finish listening. Given everything we've talked about today about this potential hidden influence, how can you, as someone who's online all the time, get better at spotting the difference between truly independent voices and those that might be influenced by someone else? What are some tools you can use to navigate this tricky landscape?
That's a huge question, and there's no easy answer. But maybe you could start by researching how online media is analyzed, or looking into the tactics used in information warfare, or even thinking about the ethical responsibility content creators have.
Those are all really good ideas. Ultimately, this entire deep dive really highlights how complicated the online world is, and how crucial it is for all of us to stay informed and be critical of what we see and hear online.
I couldn't agree more.
Because the more aware we are, the better equipped we'll be to make informed decisions. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Of course. It was great to be here.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you then.